Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Kentrell, your host here at Leaning Toward Wisdom. You can find the show notes for today's episode. And just go look for episode 4021. That's 4021. I don't know. What should we call this show today? Reinventing yourself? Maybe reinventing yourself, your career, and battling online envy. Yeah, let's do all that next. In the day job, I mostly spend my time doing executive coaching and small business consulting. And by the way, I define small business not by necessarily the revenue or the size of the organization. I really describe it as the flatness of the organization. So companies that have a lot of committees and basically do things by committee, I'm not so attracted to. But in the day job, a lot of conversation is about reinventing yourself, and it's not necessarily even about changing careers. It sometimes is about adapting and acquiring some new skills, new talents, and in some cases, trying to break out of a mold, trying to break out of the way that you are perceived by your boss, and in some cases, the way that you're perceived by the people that work for you. And it's something that a lot of leaders very often confront and face. Reinvention can, in many cases, I think, be more difficult than invention, because with reinvention, there's baggage, there's a past, there's history. And so along with all the experience and all of the learning that we have gathered along the way, and it doesn't matter how long that way is, for some people, it's just a few years. And for others of us that are long in the tooth, it can be decades. And along with all of that, we've picked up baggage. We've just picked up baggage, and it's really difficult sometimes to schlep that along, and it's even more difficult to just get rid of it. I think when I think of reinvention, I think about creatives. You know, I think about musicians or actors. I mean, Robin Williams, for instance. Robin Williams, he enters our space and our consciousness as a stand-up comic, as just a crazy, outrageous kind of a personality. Maybe your first recall of him is Mork. Mork and Mork and Mindy. And then he morphs into this a seemingly crazy guy, but not quite so funny. This crazy clerk in a photo processing place in 1 hour photo. Major reinvention. And we look at him and we think, how can this crazed funny man who is so brilliant in Dead Poet Society and some other more dramatic roles, I mean, how can he do this? How can he be such contradictions? Well, it's risky. It's risky except when it's necessary or when it's something that you really want to do. I don't know, but I would suppose that Robin Williams really wanted to do these other parts. I would suppose he really wanted, not necessarily to reinvent himself, but he wanted to branch out and do some other things. Isn't it interesting that we grew up, well, those of us in my generation, we grew up knowing Robert De Niro in roles like The Deer Hunter and other really heavy roles, Taxi Driver, Deer Hunter, you know, these very first kinds of films that really catapulted his career. And here in later life, he's really funny. He's really funny. He's played some tremendously funny roles here later in life. Was it so much reinvention because of necessity and the roles that he was offered? You know, you got to believe with the star power that he's got, he wanted to do it. It can be terrific if you can pull it off. And there's no question it's risky. Michael Jordan was magnificent as a basketball player. Okay, not so much as a baseball player. Now, kudos to him for trying. But I don't think any of us really enjoyed watching him perform at at these mere mortal levels at any sport. We were accustomed to him being this high-flying magician on a basketball court, and on a baseball diamond, he was kind of just another guy, except for the fact that he had celebrity. He had fame. I was a Jimmy Buffett fan in the early, I call them the ABC Dunhill record days. These were his very early days. The songs were great. This was pre-Margaritaville. But Jimmy reinvented himself. Now, a lot of folks who followed him back in the day claim he sold out. Well, he certainly got more commercial. He certainly got more popular. He certainly became vastly more financially successful. And so he became this leader of this Caribbean party animal crowd. Okay, maybe more appropriately, the wannabe Caribbean party animal crowd. I live here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and the man can sell out a huge outdoor venue. He can amass hordes of people. You know, success hasn't changed Jimmy. He changed, and it resulted in greater success. Do I fault him for that? I don't, not personally. I did stop buying his records prior to changes in latitude when he left Florida and he moved the rock to the Rocky Mountains. I mean, I was thinking at the time, along with a lot of other folks, I mean, who does he think he is? John Denver? At the time we had John Denver. Of course, he's since gone on, but yeah, we didn't want Jimmy to be John Denver. Josh Kelly is another musician who comes to my mind. You've probably not heard of Josh Kelly. If you have, kudos. He's a musician who changed. I first heard him in 2003, and the music might be best described as rock or alternative rock. And I was really happy to find his music. And then 2010 rolls around, and he reinvented himself as this country music guy. And it makes sense, really, I guess, because his brother is a member of Lady Antebellum. Well, even if you're not a music or a country music fan, you've heard of Lady Antebellum. Now, Josh, well, guess he's married to Katherine Heigl. You know, she was a nurse in, was it Grey's Anatomy or something like that? You know, really attractive blonde-headed girl, Katherine Heigl. Well, that's Josh's wife. And so, well, hey, who am I to argue with his reinvention strategy? He cracked the top 20 with a country tune, Georgia Clay. Yeah, he's from Georgia. Well, the reinvention worked. And I hope he's playing the kind of music that he loves the most. I'm not listening any longer, but that's okay. I'm not judging him. It just proves the point. You have to do what you have to do. And sometimes maybe it is about marketing so that you can keep on doing what you love. Maybe that's why Jimmy Buffett went more commercial. I don't know. But you do have to take the risk, don't you? I mean, if you want to. Some fans, you can call them whatever you'd like in your situation. Some fans, some customers, some followers, some friends in the online sense, they may leave. They may leave if you take the risky venture to reinvent yourself. But new ones are bound to embrace you. What do you have to do? Now, I don't know. I don't know if Jimmy Buffett or Josh Kelly or Robin Williams or Robert De Niro, I don't know if any of these people had to reinvent themselves or if they had to branch out and do some different things that put them in a different public context. I don't know. I don't know if some of these changes were brought about because of opportunities that they had as opposed to opportunities that they did not have. I don't know if these were underlying, I've always wanted to do this versus that. I don't know. All I know is these are examples, and you can think of countless others. These are examples of people who were known in one vein of thought, and they completely went in a different direction. and it worked. I'm sure there are examples of failure, but yeah, you know, who wants to concentrate on those? And I guess the question for me and the question for the people that I know that I work for and try to help is, what do you have to do? If people in some of the most creative endeavors of life, music or acting, if they can reinvent themselves, why can't you? And so what changes might lie ahead in your life? Are you just going to accept whatever happens, or are you going to take some action to influence what happens? I went to a midnight concert when I was just a kid, and Jimmy Buffett, come Monday, had not yet been released, and I paid $1 for the ticket, a concert that didn't even start until midnight. Maybe 150 people were there. That was a long time ago. The man can sell out a stadium now. What's different? A lot of things are different. A lot of changes happened. Jimmy clearly, successfully, did some things very well. I don't care if people want to accuse him of selling out. He's laughing all the way to the bank, and he's having a grand time doing it. Do I think that he's doing things so dramatically different that if he could go back and do things the way I enjoyed them, those early recordings, do I think that he would go back and do that? No, I don't. I think the man enjoys writing music. I think the man more appropriately enjoys playing live music. I think he enjoys being in front of the crowd. For him to continue to do that, he needed support. He found a way to gain traction and gain more support so he could do what I think he loves to do. You realize it's not really reinvention, don't you? It really is growth. It's change. It's improvement. He's still Jimmy Buffett. Hopefully, he's just a better version of himself, at least professionally. And that's the same thing for you. That's the same thing for me. It really isn't so much reinvention, I don't suppose, as it's we're growing, we're changing, we're improving. It's still us. It might be a different aspect of us. It's still you, but it may be a different context. Robin Williams as Mork in Mork and Mindy is a very different Robin Williams than the guy who's playing the DJ in Good Morning Vietnam. Still Robin Williams, different context though. And the context is different yet again when he plays the role of a school teacher in Dead Poets Society. And it's a different context all over again when he's playing this crazed photo clerk in 1 hour photo. You're not the same person in every context of your life. Now, we can talk about openness and transparency and authenticity and all that stuff till the cows come home, but you are not the same person at home as you are at work, not entirely. And you are not the same person publicly as you are privately, not entirely. And you are not the same person online as you are offline, not entirely. There's the professional version of you. There is the public version of you. There is perhaps the social media version of you. And then there's the family version of you. There's the private version of you. And no, this doesn't make you schizophrenic, because we all have a variety of facets to who we are. And our behavior is likely dictated, well, it's dictated by the context. Now, I may joke around with friends and family and people that I have known for a long time and who know me well in ways that I never could pull off in a different setting, in a professional setting. Yeah, okay, I can hear some stuffed up person cry out, well, hypocrite, you're just a hypocrite. No, this is not hypocrisy that we're talking about. This is appropriate behavior. This is social awareness. You ever been around somebody and they had no sense of propriety at all? You'd get in a social situation and they may ask a question that you just don't ask. You just don't ask this, certainly not in a public setting. Sure, we've all encountered, you know, these socially awkward people. That's what this is. This is not hypocrisy. This is just the ability to understand and read a situation and act appropriately. Well, why is all that? Why is context? And why is all that important when we're talking about reinventing ourselves, much less our career? Well, I think it's important because it's possible. I think it's even probable that you want to alter one area of your life without doing it necessarily in some other area. And don't we all get that? I mean, how ridiculous would it be if you wanted to change your career? You just not happy with the job. I want to do something different. And you got an idea of what you want to do, but that means you got to change your wife. You got to change your kids. You can't live in the same neighborhood. You got to change. If you're going to change one thing, you got to change everything. Well, no, we would think, well, that's idiotic. Of course, that's not necessary. A guy can change a job. You can change a career and you don't have to get rid of your current family to do it or move to a different neighborhood. No, because we compartmentalize these areas of our life. We can be perfectly satisfied in one area of our life, but we can be really dissatisfied in a different area. Well, great. Go work on the area that you want to improve. Go work on the area that you want to change. Robin Williams, okay, maybe a bad example. I mean, he's had some domestic issues and some other private issues, but the fact that he wanted to remain in comedy, he didn't give up comedy, but he also wanted to do some of these other things. He wanted to put a different hat on. He wanted to play a more dramatic role. He wanted to play something with much more seriousness than Mork. Didn't mean that it necessarily had to impact some other area of his life. You hear the phrase holistic a lot, and holistic, there's so many people that just think there's got to be this holistic approach to everything, meaning that you really can't compartmentalize. You can't work on one thing without it affecting the other thing, and that also affects this and that and the other. Now, most notably, we probably think of the term holistic when we're talking about health issues. And there is some validity to that in that you take one medication. Well, medications have side effects. You can take a medication that can, you've heard all the disclaimers on these TV commercials, and then you just go on and on and on and on. At the end of a commercial, it's like, it's a 30-second commercial, and it seems like 15 seconds of it at the end are, you know, be forewarned about this, that, and the other, and it can cause bleeding, it can cause this. These things do, well, better yet, these things can, they can impact other areas of life, but they don't necessarily have to. And then I think we've got to add another component to all of this madness, and that is, well, here's the scenario. You're not happy. You're not happy with some area of your life. And let's single in on profession. Let's single in on the work, because that really is everything that we've talked about so far. Whether it's an actor or a singer-songwriter, these are people that have taken different directions professionally. We're not diving into their personal lives. Do you want to do something different with your professional life? Would you like to reinvent yourself? Would you like to entertain something else? Would you like to put a different spin maybe on the very thing that you're doing, but you want to do it? Well, I know some people, they love what they do. They just don't happen to love the people they do it for. They'd like to change that. Okay. Is that reinvention? A change of scenery, maybe. But it still is all the same thing. It still is change, growth, improvement. We look online, and here's a big, huge danger, is all the online noise. Because you know everybody's getting rich online except you. What's your problem? Where have you been? Man, you're not living right. All the rest of us we're just making gobs of money. I mean, come on. You do the math. Look at how many people are online. You've only got to sell to 100, maybe 1,000 people something, and you can make a handsome living year after year after year. It's a money-making machine. It's called the internet. Don't you get this? Where have you been? That's how you feel, right? Everybody's making money but me. Everybody's got this stuff figured out, except you. People are starting kitchen table projects and they're earning thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every month. Some people are just getting filthy, stinking rich. Not you. You read blogs, you watch videos, you listen to podcasts, you see the photographs, you read the emails. Everywhere you look, success, man, one story of reinvention after another. People who they were once living in their car. Now they're living in an oceanfront mansion. What's your deal? You've never lived in a car ever. You went to school. You did good. You made decent grades. You got by. You learned a thing or two. You've been responsible. You haven't had hundreds of thousands of dollars in credit card debt and been homeless. They have figured something out that you have not yet figured out. How is it possible that somebody who's gone from living in their car to an oceanfront mansion, and they done it in the span of 18 months, they figured something out in 18 months, and you've been at it for 20 years and you hadn't figured it out? What is your deal? I'll tell you what your deal is. Your deal is you're an idiot. You're stupid. They're smarter than you. No, they're not. They're not smarter than you. It's online envy. Online envy. Assume that every story that you read is true. Okay. What does that do for you? They're not, by the way. You know that, don't you? You do know that people lie, don't you? Embellish. Yeah, you talk about hypocrisy. It's a wasteland, folks. It's just a wasteland. It's a wasteland that can so distract us. Over at the home base, Bula Network, bulanetwork.com, just last week, Friday, in fact, I released a blog post because I've grown weary with trying to help some small business people who they really don't get the online stuff. They don't quite understand it. They just know they've got to be in it. They got to be in it. And that's true enough for most people, not for all people, but for most people, that you do need to be in the game to some degree. But it's just fascinating to me, if not frustrating. Well, it is totally frustrating. People who they've got to know everything about everything. I mean, I need to know about WordPress. I need to know about email marketing. And what the YouTube. I got to be on YouTube. Facebook. What's the deal with Facebook? Pinterest. I need to use Pinterest. How do I use Pinterest? What can I do with that? SEO. And they don't even know what SEO stands for, but they know they got to be in it. And PPC. There's another thing. What is that? But I need that. Sign me up for that. And oh, by the way, I've got to be an expert at all these things. I need to know all these things from A to Z, from front to back. And you're like, wait a minute. And so what the post that I put over there last week at bullanetwork.com was, listen, here's what you need. You need a customer and you need blinders. And that's the point for this podcast episode, is sometimes we need blinders. Now, you may not need a customer. Depends on what you do. But you do need somebody willing to pay for the value that you bring. And I don't care if you're Robin Williams. I don't care if you're, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Jimmy Buffett or anybody else. You've got to have support, financial support. If Buffett didn't have people willing to buy his recordings and pay for tickets, he's got to find something else to do. His talent is music. He's able to fund his talent because he's got patrons, fans, listeners, loyal listeners. Well, you've got to have the same thing. If you have a job, maybe your patron is your boss. Maybe your patron is a group of people who kind of collectively are your boss. Maybe you're a cog in a machine and the machine has customers and in that sense, you do need customers. Maybe not you directly, but indirectly, without them, your job goes away. There's so many elements to reinvention, and there's so much head trash that we tend to have to fight. And most of it is self-generated. Well, is that true? I wonder if that's true. I think for many people, and I know for myself, I can only speak for myself, a lot of the head trash is self-generated. Now, admittedly, it's self-generated based on maybe external, you know, stimulus. Enter online envy, or enter the stories that you hear. And that collective psychology can take its toll on us, because we just think, why is this so hard for me when it seems to be so easy for everyone else? When the fact is, it's not easy for everybody else. You think it's easy for everybody else. Is it easy for some? Is it easier for some than others? Sure. I remember being in grade school, and I remember a young man, and he was pretty smart, and I felt like I was pretty smart, but he acted like he immediately knew what he wanted to do. And what he wanted to do is, he wanted to be a surgeon. He wanted to be a doctor. Specifically, he wanted to be a surgeon. It escapes me what it was. I want to say heart surgeon, but that may not be right. I'm not sure. I can't remember that far back. It's a long time ago. It was in the Stone Age. And I remember even thinking then, I don't have a clue what I want to do. You know what I mean? We're kids. Well, fast forward, and we get to high school, and guess what? He still wanted to be that same thing. And I'm in high school, and I like music. I like hi-fi gear. I still don't know what I want to do. I finally get a job at a hi-fi shop, and I'm selling hi-fi gear, and I still don't know what I want to do. Put me under truth serum, and I still couldn't tell you. I was having trouble inventing myself. Forget the reinvention. And like a lot of people, maybe more so guys than gals, I'm not sure about that, but being a guy, I hear more guys talk about how I just fell into it. You ever hear that? Does that describe you in your career? I'm doing what I'm doing. Well, how'd you get into that? It just happened. I just fell into it. And the people that haven't fallen into something don't quite get that, do they? And those of us who have fallen into something, we get it. And sometimes we feel like we fell into a ditch, and other times we feel like, yeah, we fell into something that's, it's working out. It's pretty good. Doesn't mean it's the end all be all. Doesn't mean it's what you would like to do. It means if you did have choices, maybe you would do something different. But now guess what? Life has happened to us, and there's no going back. Well, we don't think there is. And maybe there isn't. Maybe there isn't. Maybe there's no possibility for reinvention. Maybe the responsibilities are mounting too high. And I often wonder about this whole notion of reinvention, and this whole notion of career, and this whole notion of us getting distracted with all of the success that we read about, especially the online variety. And you take a guy or a gal who's just living this responsible life, doing their best to raise their family. And I just often wonder how many people are so negatively affected by all of this. Pursue your dreams and pursue your passion, and they just really are trying to take care of their family. And if it weren't for the external distractions, they might be perfectly fine. Maybe they're not grinning ear to ear kind of happy, but they're contented kind of happy. And I don't know about you, but it's great to laugh, and it's great to smile, and it's great to feel invigorated. But over the long haul, isn't it better to just have some quiet, calm contentment about it all? I mean, can you really go through life laughing like a hyena? I mean, would your loved ones want that? I can just see me just running around the house, just laughing hysterically all the time. Just doctors would be called. I can promise you. Authorities would be summoned to the house, perhaps with tasers, and certainly with straitjackets. And my family would want me put away. You figure out what's wrong with him, because he's seriously ill, because this is not how he normally behaves. It's good to laugh. It's good to cut up. I'm a real fan of sarcasm. I'm a real fan of having a good time. But I would say more often than not, people that know me would describe me as more of a sober-minded kind of person. And okay, I don't have a problem with that. Doesn't mean that I'm melancholy all the time. It doesn't mean that I'm dissatisfied all the time. It doesn't mean that I'm just constantly looking for the next thing. And I think that's a problem too. When we talk about reinventing ourselves, are you a person who just, you jump from one thing to another thing? Yeah, people call it shiny object syndrome. To me, it's more like the squirrels that are darting around the neighborhood, at least in the neighborhood that I live. Or kittens, you know, these videos that you see of kittens, and those of us that have had kittens before, and I'm not so much a cat person, but who doesn't like a kitten? I like kittens until they grow up to become cats, but if you're offended by that, then be offended. But I have had kittens and I've had cats, and I'm a dog guy. But kittens will just, yeah, you can run them crazy. Just, you could throw a ball of yarn out and the cat's going to chase it for sure. Get another ball of yarn, cat's going to chase that one too. Get another ball, chase that one too. I mean, you can just, they're just so easily distracted. And some of us, I think, are that way. Some of us would be more successful at reinventing or inventing ourselves and our career. And we could battle maybe envy, success envy. Okay, particularly the online variety, more successfully, if we just hunker down and do our business. Somebody said to me not long ago, and boy, it was true, and they were commenting about Facebook, and they were commenting about the business application of Facebook. And I said, I really can't help you because I'm just not a big, I love social media. I love certain aspects of about it. Other aspects I really hate, but I do not put very many eggs, and maybe I'm completely amiss by doing this. I don't put a lot of business eggs in social media basket. I'd be willing to. I just don't. I don't for my business. I haven't been able to figure out how any client that I've ever had could really, well, let's put it this way. It's not for me about followers and friends and fans and all that stuff. It's about customers. Who can you serve? Who can you get to write you a check? Who can you get to pay you money? And I just don't have, at least right now, I don't have the expertise, that's for sure. I don't have the experience in making those kinds of vehicles produce leads that result in paying customers. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying I don't know how to do it. And I don't profess to sit in front of somebody and say, hey, I can help you with that. I know what I can help people do with it, but it still, for me, boils down to a customer. It boils down to getting a result. And so when we think about reinventing ourselves and our career and battling all this stuff, the success envy, the online envy, for me, it's about results. Results. What result do you want? Do you want to completely blow your career up and do something completely different? There are plenty of people who've done that, and you can do that too. Maybe. You can try. There may be harm in trying, and you certainly have to weigh that. So I sit down with young people, and this happens pretty frequently, especially young married couples, and you know, a lot of decisions to be made, especially in your first year of marriage. It's a lot going on, you know, a lot of moving parts, a lot of stuff to try to manage and get accustomed to. It's a completely new way of life. And in some cases, it's career stuff. It's career challenges. And it's, okay, do I go for that advanced degree? Do I take out a student loan for this? And it's like, what do you think we should do? And so many people just tell me what to do. Just tell me what, and you can't. You just can't, because life doesn't work that way. You've got to figure this out on your own. And yet everybody's looking for, and it doesn't matter if you're a young married person or if you're an old single person. People aren't necessarily looking for somebody to tell them what to do, but they're looking for somebody to tell them how to do it. Tell me how to succeed. And so we're fascinated by all these stories of how other people did it, how other people reinvented themselves, reinvented their career, how other people battled online envy, how other people made a go of it in whatever they're doing, and how can we do it too? When the truth is, you may not be able to do it at all, and you may not be able to do it the way they did it. In fact, it's highly likely you won't be able to do it the way they did it. A lot of moving parts, a lot of variables to this thing. And it is so individual. And while there may be some common denominators, it's so individual in that you've got to do it your way. You've got to find your own way. And so many people, it seems to me, don't really want to do that. But you got no choice. If you're going to figure it out, you got to figure it out. I mean, just take a look at all the examples that I've named. And is there any one of those that you think followed a pattern that was established by somebody else? Now, I can look at groups like the Grateful Dead and say, okay, the Grateful Dead, they made themselves, I mean, they were a cult band that had a tremendous following, especially in live shows, and they broke every rule in the book, whatever those proverbial rules are. They gave away recordings. They encouraged their fan base to make bootleg recordings, and this is back in the cassette deck days. Not to sell them, just give them away. Spread the music. And other people would traditionally say, well, that's a bad business model. Giving away your stuff for free? Yeah. And yet they had loyal fans that would travel with them from show to show to show to show to show. And everybody can talk about the drugs and all that they want, but you know, was that really the deal? Listen, you can go get high anywhere. No, they were the premier jam band, you know, songs that would go on and on and on, and just, you know, great musicianship and stacks of amplifiers and a unique kind of music that frankly nobody else was playing. They made their own way. They figured it out. Jimmy Buffett, I mean, what did he follow? You kidding me? I've gone to see Jimmy Buffett in the early years more than I've seen any other musician. Hands down. Yeah, he living in the Deep South. He was around a lot. He was around a lot. And if there was any kind of an alternative country kind of a festival, you know, that was back in the days where there were quite a few of those. Buffett was there. Jerry Jeff Walker, he was there. I mean, these were the kind of people that was just the scene that they were part of. How do you go from that to figuring out a way to pack a stadium? You know, Jimmy read some book, somebody give him the easy button? No, he figured it out. You know, the genius of some of these people may not be the artistry. The creative part of their genius may be the fact that they figured it out, that the Grateful Dead figured it out, that Jimmy Buffett figured it out, that Robin Williams figured it out. Failures along the way? I guarantee there were colossal failures along the way. I can promise you Buffett had some colossal failures as far as records released, but he pushed through. He worked through it. And I think that really is the point. That's the point today in reinventing yourself, reinventing your career, just battling all the head trash, including the envy that you may feel in that everybody is succeeding but you. I think the persistence of it all is the deal. I think keeping on and keeping on and keeping on and keeping on and pushing through all the failure, knowing full well that, you're going to lay some eggs. It's just going to happen. It's the price that you pay on the toll road toward success. Okay, well, that didn't work. And by seeing what doesn't work, you figure out what does work. Is it always fun? Only after the fact. I bet you a dollar to a donut, all the aforementioned people look back at earlier days when they were struggling with some degree of fondness, don't you? You look at your own past, and I was telling somebody the other day, when Rhonda and I first got married, we lived in married housing at LSU. Excuse me. Married housing at LSU. Now, you're talking about people talk about these tiny homes, and I'm really fascinated by the whole tiny home movement. It just seems to be really terrific. Okay, well, we did the tiny home living when we first got married. You know, it happens when you're in about a 500 to 700 square foot apartment in married housing at a major university. It's how life goes. And yet today, we both look back at that with tremendous fondness. I mean, the washer and the dryer were in the bathroom. How cool is that? You know, you had one window unit, air conditioner, that was in the bedroom, and it was really just kind of one big room. And the air conditioner was like at the foot of the bed and just blasted clear across the bed. I mean, it was great. It was great. I don't live anywhere close to that today. And there's something kind of cool about that. Do I remember it more fondly than it really was? I honestly don't think so. I don't think so. We created some great memories. We had some good times. And it was, in fact, we've had some moments where we thought, you know, it wouldn't be bad to go back to that. It wouldn't be bad to where, can you imagine everything that we own fitting into about 700 square feet and having room left over? You kidding me? I got more stuff than that sitting in the yellow studio here where I'm sitting. It's, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey, whether you call it reinventing yourself or changing or improving. You know, I don't call it anything that you want. To me, yeah, it's improving. We're trying to improve ourselves. Maybe you're trying to branch out. Maybe you're trying to niche down. But you're trying to change. Does that mean that you're trying to fix something that's broken? It could, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means you want to be better. You want to be better, and you're working hard to be better. Man, do it. Just do it. Dedicate yourself to it, and don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. Just keep pressing on. Keep trying to get better, no matter what. Don't let anything or anybody stop you. Stop listening to all the trash online and offline. It doesn't matter, because it's your life, and nobody's going to care about your life more than you do. Nobody's more vested in your life than you are. So my vote, and I have one because this is my podcast, give it everything you've got. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is Leaning Toward Wisdom, which is what I'm trying to do. I'm also trying to learn how to speak, and I'm trying to help you lean toward wisdom more as well. And as I kind of say on, I think, the about page, you just put your shoulder into it, you know, and lean hard. Give it everything you got. Go to the website. You can reach out by way of my contact form. What I'd love you to do is subscribe to the podcast and tell a friend. There are all kinds of links at the website, ways that you can subscribe through iTunes or Stitcher. Yeah, sure. If you want to leave a review, I don't know that I've got a single review, because I never asked for them. In fact, this may be the first time I've ever asked for a review for Leaning Toward Wisdom, but I'm not big on asking for reviews because, frankly, I don't care. Leave one if you want, and it can be good. It can be bad. I don't care. You're the listener. You have total control over that. So I just appreciate you listening today. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, from a place that I call the Yellow Studio.